Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
This is the Cape Drive Time. Welcome to the show. The December 2017 European Union African Summit drew up an emergency plan to repatriate scores of African migrants held captive in Libya and the crackdown on people smugglers. On the face of it, says this report, the decision to repatriate the migrants is a welcome intervention, but it fails to consider the fundamental causes of human flight from Africa. Online is Christopher Changwe Nchimbi, Deputy Director, Center for the Study of Governance Innovation, Department of Political Science at the University of Pretoria. Christopher Nchimbi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, and good evening to you and the listeners.
Good evening to you as well. If we look at this particular scenario, not much is ever done, it seems, to try and understand why people from North Africa, for example, travel through Libya, jump onto boats and try to get to Europe via Italy.
Indeed. And actually, if you look, watch the media, you find that the common narrative that will be given for people attempting to go into Europe is that they are running away from economic hardship. But that's too superficial, and that explains to you why the people never stop going to Europe or attempting to go to Europe, even if there are efforts that are being made to stop them from going there.
And of course, it's a whole complex scenario of issues, isn't it? It's not just economic hardship, it's warfare, it's looking for better prospects. I mean, it's a complex landscape, isn't it? It can't be put into one box.
It's very, very complex. And you will find researchers that generally, of course, the general narrative, as I said earlier, is that people are running away from economic hardships. But the question that begs answers is, but why do... for example, the Western media and also generally the media in Europe continue to, you know, feed into this narrative to say people are running away from economic hardships. And you discover that actually the reason why this narrative is, they keep on promoting this narrative, is an attempt to stop people from going there, especially people from Africa. But if you really dig deeper into what is causing especially the youths in Africa to actually seek to leave their countries and go to other places where they're seeking better lives, you find that the reasons behind that are more complex than simply saying that they are running away from economic hardships. There are a lot of policy issues that affect them. There are a lot of governance issues within their countries that affect them and therefore cause them to want to go to other places instead of being in their home country.
The other day, and this is anecdotal, I was talking to a young man who actually knocked on my door asking for food, and he was a foreigner. And when I asked him how long he'd been in South Africa, he said 8 years. And he really hadn't made much social progress. But then he said something which quite struck me. He said, it's still better for him to be in the abject scenario he is in South Africa than to be back in his home country. Makes a person think, doesn't it?
It is. And the thing is, if you had gone a bit further to ask him to say, but why would you say that it's better to be here than to be in your home country? You'll find that some people leave their home countries because maybe they have different social or cultural orientations, and on that basis they are persecuted. So it's not really that they are running away from economic hardship, but there are other social factors behind that are causing them to get out of their country to seek safety elsewhere. So some people would come to countries like South Africa because they are protected by what is known to be one of the best constitutions in the world and also the legal framework in the country. You would rather face a little hardship in such an environment than be in a country where you are being persecuted just because you belong to a different ethnic group, for example.
Indeed. I mean, and those where the complications come in, don't they? Do you think that a part of the problem is that in South Africa at least, and more so in Europe, sometimes the subtleties, as you say, are what happens in a particular society. Somebody might belong to a clan that is not politically dominant, so you're never going to get a fair break in your home country.
You never get that break in your home country, indeed, and no matter how much you try. But worse than that, those that would be in power or are closer to the centers of power would be working to actually make sure that you remain marginalized. So the situation is more or less hopeless for you if you think of it in those terms. And the best thing for you, or the best option available for you, would be just to flee and go to another place where you can be better accommodated, and also maybe you might have opportunity to advance yourself socially and also maybe economically. So it's really challenging, and it's mostly a question of governance issues within the African countries, and also social-cultural factors that have to be taken care of and to be addressed in order to let people stay in their countries.
Do you think another thing that is never really given the publicity it deserves is that in Europe, for example, everybody knows has a declining population. Europeans per se are a declining population, particularly in Europe, and they are actually not prepared to do a lot of the manual labor required in that society, and yet they are still resentful to people who are prepared to fill the vacuum. It's sometimes difficult to understand, isn't it?
It is very difficult to understand, and actually in the article that I appeared today, which I wrote in The Conversation, I do talk about the fact that the fact that Europe or European countries need people that are professionals as well as semi and unskilled workers, that one is beyond dispute or debate. And you find even when you go to websites of the European Union and the OECD, there are studies that have been done for them which show that Europe actually needs these kinds of people to work there from outside the European Union. But then you have now this kind of paradox where, in as much as they need these people to come into their countries, then there are groups that are resisting and don't want these people to come in their countries. I mean, you've mentioned the declining population or the aging population in Europe, which is a reality, it's a fact. And if you ask how are they replacing or attempting to replace that declining population, your guess is as good as mine. So there is demand for foreign labor in Europe, but then the question is, but why should this not be encouraged or establish at least channels in which people can be assessed and then allowed to migrate to Europe instead of letting them die in the desert or in Libya, be auctioned as slaves in Libya or die in the Mediterranean Sea?
Another question that pops up, my final question, that some of the transitory countries like Libya are massively racist. Some of the North African countries, Libya is the worst case, you know, it devolved into slavery. But even before these stories started coming out of Libya, if you were a black and African in Libya, you were definitely not a first class citizen.
And that actually defeats this very core of having a united Africa. How could it be that on one hand you are pushing for an integrated and united Africa, you have these institutions that are established and dedicated to seeing this happen, and yet when you look at some member countries of the organization, what is happening within those countries doesn't actually tie in or is not in harmony with what the rest of the continent is pushing for. So in terms of solution, of course, I would propose that there should be policy harmonization and understanding among all member countries to say this is what we are driving towards, let's work towards this end and seek to eliminate all forms of discrimination. If we say we are one we are one group of nations and we are one continent, and let's push for that integrated community, if you like.
Christopher Nchimbi, Deputy Director, Department of Political Science, University of Pretoria, talking to us about the issue of African migrants and the massive international hypocrisy that surrounds it. Thanks for chatting to us.
Thank you so much.
Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.